Well, welcome in everyone to Redacted on this Tuesday. So glad to have you all here live with us. We are live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time. That is 1 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. GMT.
Greenwich Mean Time.
GMT, that's right. And so we do have a very busy show for you. We don't want to waste much time on that, but I do want to tell you that we do have a daily newsletter that you should all sign up for. It's redacted.inc is the website. You should go to redacted.inc. It's delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. I got a really nice note from one of our readers of our newsletter this morning, and she said, I don't read any newsletters. It's the only one that I read till the end because it's so well done. Aww. So my thanks to you. Thank you so much for your kind words. Again, you can read it over your cup of coffee in about 5-10 minutes first thing in the morning. We cover stories that we might not see here on the show, or maybe more of a director's track of what we talk about in the newsletter is here. So I encourage all of you to go sign up. Plus, it's a way for us to connect because God knows big tech companies love to censor shows like this. So it's a way for us to stay connected if we have to tell you to go somewhere else and connect in different places. So without further ado, let's dive into the big story of the day, which of course is Nancy Pelosi under the cloak of darkness, landing in Taiwan, under the cloak of darkness at Taipei Airport. Now, what was interesting about this arrival is that she was flying in there. They had camouflaged anti-aircraft defense missiles under camouflage that they pulled off to make sure that she was protected. They will not talk about the landing, how many other military aircraft were circling and supporting her upon landing, but hundreds of thousands of people watched her plane on this flight radar app, Flight
Which
Radar 24.
Which is just the strangest turn of events, right? Because if people can see your flight path live, then why not confirm that you were going there hours before you take off, right?
And why leave it off
why
of your itinerary?
Why so cagey about it and then just show up? Because we can see you.
And they know it. Chinese military, Chinese intelligence, they know you're coming.
Right.
Right. This isn't a mystery
and
to them,
she's
right?
She's posing for all sorts of photo opportunities with politicians in Taiwan, you know, just moments ago, as soon as she got off the plane. She posted a tweet saying, our visit reiterates that America stands with Taiwan, a robust, vibrant democracy, and our important partner in the Indo-Pacific, which I guess, you know, we've been trying to figure out. We've had this conversation for weeks now. Why is she going there? Mm-hmm. I guess.
If anyone knows in our chat room, please let us know in the comments below, why in the hell would Nancy Pelosi go to Taiwan?
For her Insta. I mean, basically, like, that's why all of us travel, right? Is to put it on our social media.
I guess taking selfies at the Grand Canyon. But I mean, President Biden said, this is not a good idea. We should not do this.
The military
said we should not do this. You should not be doing this. Unbelievably, though, hundreds of thousands of people watching this flight tracker app this afternoon brought this like servers almost to a screeching halt because so many people were like watching this one airplane like landing there when she in the middle of the night, by the way. And so we actually have an update because right now in the middle of the night now, some breaking news just a few minutes ago is that, in fact, the ambassador, my Safari is not coming up here, the ambassador for yes, the middle of the night local time, but China has announced that the foreign ministry has summoned the U.S. ambassador to China, Nicholas Burns, in order to protest Pelosi's landing in Taiwan. This happened just moments ago, so everyone's asleep, mostly, but not, where she's met due with Tsai Ing-wen in the morning. So going to meet with a Taiwanese president in the morning, and they are upset about this. According to the readout, this is a state-run alert that just came through. China's vice foreign minister, Xi Feng summoned U.S. Ambassador of China Nicholas Burns overnight to protest the arrival of Nancy Pelosi to Taiwan.
I'm not understanding what you're saying. Is that China has called the American ambassador that is currently in China and said what? You got to get out? Or
that the Chinese side will not sit idly by is what they say. So again, the question is
what
now.
What do you mean by called up?
This is not, you're saying me saying this. This is not me. I'm giving you the readout from the China foreign minister. This is not me saying this.
Okay, but I'm just asking you to clarify since I haven't seen it. So called up, like called on the phone and said, I'm pissed about this, or called them and said, you need to leave the embassy.
Let me read this again.
Do it.
You guys tell me what you think. But this is a readout from moments ago. In the middle of the night local time, China has announced the foreign ministry has summoned the U.S. ambassador to China, Nicholas Burns. They're asking him, the United States ambassador to China, right, Nicholas Burns from the U.S., summoned him to, I don't know, either on the phone or to the office of Xi Jinping, I don't know, in Beijing.
It's a you got some splaining to do type phone
right.
call
and
that you don't want from the Chinese
can
president.
Can you imagine, like, Mr. President, what do I say? I know you didn't want her going to Taiwan, Mr. President. She's here. How do we respond? This is what's really weird about this whole situation right now is that you have this back and forth between the White House, basically, and the House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi. So you have two different avenues unfolding in front of us right now, because you have the White House saying, President Biden last week saying, this is not a good idea. The military saying, this is not a good idea. And then you have Nancy Pelosi saying, we're going to go anyway and do this.
And Poppy in the chat makes a good point. This is all costing U.S. taxpayers, right? Because we have to reinforce military support in that region. Although Kamala Harris told us recently, we're already doing that. So, okay, you know.
Brian Dodson in our chat says, old news. This literally just happened like a few moments ago. This is not old news. Nancy Pelosi just landed in Taipei. And what's not old news is the protests that unfolded as a result of it as well. So we'll get to those protests in a minute. But Taiwan welcoming, they put out the welcome. They rolled out a bit of the welcome mat. This is a tower. This is the tallest tower in Taipei, as she landed just a few hours ago with the words, Speaker Pelosi, welcome to Taiwan. Here's a look at the tower.
She is an elected official. So it is fair for us as Americans to say, did we even want you to go there? Do we support this, right? Because it seems like it will create a lot of conflict. Beyond just posting this tweet and saying that America stands with Taiwan, which again is not official U.S. policy, although lawmakers are working to change that in order to prove that they're tough on China, right?
But here's something you won't see in the Western media. This happened this afternoon, protests erupting in Taiwan saying, get out, Nancy Pelosi. F you, Nancy Pelosi. Get out of here. We're not your puppet. Take a look at some of these protests that have been unfolding. People in Taiwan protesting the dangerous provocation by Nancy Pelosi. You can see this condemning local politicians as U.S. puppets and traitors. And you can see these people holding up the signs saying, we don't need America to treat us as a pawn. F off, Nancy Pelosi. Pretty amazing to see this. I mean,
because they understand that their safety is in jeopardy, right?
Right.
So it's easy to say, well, we stand with sovereign nations. We think all nations that want to be independent should. And so we think that's a good thing. So we're going to show up for our friend, right?
Right.
That's a nice gesture. But if there is a world global power threatening violence as a result, you have an Air Force plane. You can fly away. How many people cannot?
And what I want to get back to, though, is the White House being out of sync on the, you know, like our audio was at the beginning of the show. But apparently it's all sorted now. So bravo to our great team here that fixed the audio out of sync issues. But I want to talk about the White House being out of sync with Nancy Pelosi and the House of Representatives. So John Kirby, National Security's John Kirby, former Rear Admiral John Kirby, is on a different page. I mean, here's John Kirby talking about how we don't believe that we don't support Taiwan independence. And yet we're literally, Nancy Pelosi is going there basically talking about we support democracy. We support Taiwan's democracy. And here is John Kirby of the White House saying we do not support Taiwan's democracy. Listen.
I've repeatedly said that we oppose any unilateral changes to the status quo from either side. We have said that we do not support Taiwan independence. And we have said that we expect cross-strait differences to be resolved by peaceful means. We have communicated this directly to...
That's what you're saying, but it's not what you're doing,
right?
Right? And it's not even what congressional representatives believe. Now there's a bipartisan bill to rename the makeshift embassy in Washington that is manned by Taiwanese officials, a more official embassy. And if I could just skip ahead, there's also lawmakers now supporting this Taiwan Policy Act of 2022, which is currently making its way through Congress. It would provide a $4.5 billion aid to Taiwan. Why do they need that exactly? because we think they might have war brought to their doorstep, as well as declare Taiwan a major non-NATO ally and threaten China with major sanctions if they make any nefarious moves against Taiwan. So, wait, sanctions? We're going to, because that's working out so well for us, we're going to go that route again?
Well, we played the Ro Khanna soundbite from last week. We played it last night on the show where Congressman Ro Khanna from California says, and I want to touch that with what Newt Gingrich just said last night as well, former Speaker of the House, by the way, who was the last person, the last Speaker of the House to travel to Taiwan 25 years ago, back in the mid-90s. So Ro Khanna, which we featured on the show, said, China needs us. They would absolutely collapse without the United States. They would be crazy to attack. We should call their bluff, he said, which is laughable, right? China, think about how massive China is, the partnerships that it has with India and Russia and Brazil and other, I mean, look at the BRICS nations, right? Think about the Belt and Road Initiative, which they unfurled across Asia and into Europe, right? Railway infrastructure that the United States sat back on, crossed its arms, is like, this is interesting. You're building railroads, you're building new shipping lanes, you're doing all of these things. And that even Europe now relies on. I bring up DHL, right? DHL is a shipping company, just like FedEx, UPS, based in Germany, using Chinese infrastructure now because it's so good. If DHL, a German company, couldn't use China's infrastructure with this Belt and Road Initiative, they would have delays, massive delays for shipping, right? Which we now demand packages in 2 days. It would be pushed back a week or more if they had to go back to their old European infrastructure, which is stunning. Now, Newt Gingrich last night saying the same thing as Ro Khanna. Usually, I think Newt Gingrich is I've interviewed him many, many times. He's a very smart man. Last night, he said something absolutely ridiculous, echoing Ro Khanna's same comments that China would be crazy to attack us. They absolutely need us. They would collapse without the United States. Are these people insane?
I don't understand this rhetoric at all. It's like, okay, maybe they're politicians who just never go to Walmart or use Amazon and realize that everything in their house
comes from China,
right? I mean, look, here's a small example, is that a few years ago, China decided that it would no longer accept plastics from America, because China had the capabilities of recycling plastics. The United States does not. What happened? The United States is now buried in its own plastic, cannot recycle it, doesn't have the facilities to do that, right? That's just one little piece of infrastructure that we relied on, outsourced, that we absolutely cannot do on our own.
What is it, only 6% of American plastics are even recycled at all?
It's about 5 to 6%.
So when you put it in a recycling container, where does it go? It's not being recycled in the United States.
Who the hell knows, right? It's like, it's a mystery. The Guardian did a research in London and sort of followed a piece of recycling and realized that it ended up, you know, in some kind of trash. Like, it's a farce. That's a tangent. But at the same time, if that's just one little piece of infrastructure, you know, cannot be sustained when China cuts us off, think about everything else, right? And we talk about here a lot how the economy is so dependent on this whack as Walmart, Amazon, China, these three pieces of the puzzle, which artificially keep prices low for goods in the United States. Well, you know, it would just be a disaster.
Well, so as expected, China's response has been swift to Nancy Pelosi showing up, of course, kicking off live fire drills. They did that this afternoon. Multiple areas and waters surrounding Taiwan. Beijing announced these exercises will continue from the evening of August 2nd, literally having started within the hour that she arrived in Taipei, through the next days. Here are just a few videos over the past few hours of China mobilizing for war. This is Xiamen City with hundreds of tanks moving into position. You can see this is unverified footage from social media reports showing mobile ballistic missiles, missile launchers along a rail line as well coming into. This is about 125 miles away from Taiwan. But you can see all these tanks. You can see, look at all of these missiles in line here. You can see all of these anti-ballistic missiles moving in line along the rail lines. And they're mobilizing. And they are absolutely prepared. Now, it could be absolutely, you know, show of force. Look at the rail lines filled with the military equipment. Could be just a, you know, just as some American politicians are saying, Ro Khanna and others, this is just bluster. This is just bluster. This is just China trying to show that it's strong. Now, what are they going to do? The real question is, Well, now what happens?
Well, right? Okay, but let's play that out. If it's China trying to show that they're strong, shouldn't we take some stock in that?
Right, exactly. I mean, so, okay, like Ro Khanna is like, just call their bluff. Because what are they going to do? Take out a few of our aircraft carriers and just kill a few thousand Americans on board these ships? Let them try it. Let these Americans get shot down. Let's just have some fun with it.
Again,
and that's literally
like
what they're calling for.
The rhetoric right now is at an all-time high, but we're pretending that there are not lives at stake, that it's just kind of a fun game of like, let's take some pictures and see how jealous we can make someone else on social media. That is juvenile.
Right. Andy in our chat says one word, propaganda. Right. Where's the propaganda though coming from? It's a double-edged propaganda, right? We're hearing it from the United States. You have unison between Republicans and Democrats, like coming together, like kumbaya moment. We can't agree on anything in the United States, but absolutely Lindsey Graham and Bob Menendez of New Jersey senators coming together, putting together a plan to make sure that we support, you know, Taiwan and we're anti-China and all of this stuff, pushing for these military drills. We have these military drills this afternoon here. China's defense ministry said Tuesday night it's going to conduct a series of targeted military operations to safeguard national sovereignty. In response to Pelosi's visit, it vowed to, quote, resolutely thwart external interference and Taiwan independence separatist attempts. And you can see this map here. This is Taiwan. This is where they're doing the drills in the red boxes, totally surrounded. And of course, China coming out also in the papers saying China vows targeted military actions in response to Pelosi Taiwan visit. Targeted military action. You pointed out earlier, they've already started cyber attacks.
Yes, that already has happened within hours of her landing. The president of Taiwan and other military and government websites have experienced a denial of service attack. That's when targeted bots flood the server with requests and those sites go down. China did not take responsibility for those actions, but we do know that the Chinese government has very experienced and sophisticated.
They never take responsibility.
Well, of course, most governments don't, even though we know that most governments, especially China, the United States, Russia, they all have very sophisticated hackers who can do whatever they want.
Liz Wheeler tweeted just a short time ago, this will lead to an invasion of Taiwan. This is her prediction. China was never going to shoot down Pelosi. They don't want war with the United States. China wants to unseat us as a superpower, not mutual destruction. But this will be their excuse to invade Taiwan because U.S. won't stop that invasion. Pray for the people of Taiwan. So she believes this is an invasion of Taiwan is coming. I'd love to hear your comments on this in the chat right now. Let us know. Do you think that Taiwan is invaded by China? Was this always the inevitability?
Which seems like a template of exactly what happened in Ukraine, right? The United States can talk a lot of rhetoric about Russian threats, right? And then can support a conflict while not really supporting a conflict. And if she's right, then who loses is just the people of Taiwan, right? So as long as the politicians are smiling for the cameras, we might think that people of Taiwan want this legitimizing visit. But social media would suggest otherwise, that they're afraid. They don't want conflict brought to their land.
Did you read the New York Times piece? So Thomas Friedman, who's a warmonger, he wrote an interesting piece in the New York Times, I thought, and a rare New York Times piece that literally calls what she's doing absolutely reckless. Why Nancy Pelosi's visit to Taiwan is utterly reckless, says the New York Times. Can you believe it? This is Thomas Friedman, for crying out loud. Friedman says, quote, I have a lot of respect for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, but if she does go ahead with a visit to Taiwan this week, which she did, against President Biden's wishes, she will be doing something that is utterly reckless, dangerous, and irresponsible, he says. Nothing good will come of it. Taiwan will not be more secure or more prosperous as a result of this purely symbolic visit, and a lot of bad things could happen. These include a Chinese military response that could result in the U.S. being plunged into direct conflicts, into indirect conflicts with a nuclear-armed Russia and a nuclear-armed China at the same time. And if you think our European allies, who are facing an existential war with Russia over Ukraine, will join us if there is U.S. conflict with China over Taiwan, triggered by this unnecessary visit, you are badly misreading the world. Think about that.
Yes. What he's alluding to is that the United States would have overplayed its hand.
Right.
In asking for help in a second war against a global superpower.
Another big piece of this is that China provides a lot of drones, right? They build a lot of drones. And so far, publicly, at least from what we know, they have not supplied military assistance to Russia. They've kept their head out of this mess, right? They've kind of stayed away from the Russia-Ukraine conflict. Now, if we poke the bear and China decides they want to support Russia in a bigger way by providing these drones, mm-hmm. which could prove it, this is where we talk about World War III on this show, not because it's like some sort of a fantasy 1980s movie, you know, like Red Dawn or something, but because it's actually happening in front of us right now. When you have these geopolitical powers moving in concert together, moving and partnering up either secretly or publicly, and then on the battlefield is Ukraine, and Taiwan becomes the next Ukraine, right? People of Taiwan are destroyed because of a NATO-backed proxy war that we want to take on with China. This is what happens.
And it's exactly what we all freaked out about when Donald Trump accidentally or on purpose, we don't know, took a call from the Taiwanese president at the time when he was still president-elect. And remember the rhetoric then was, oh, these are things that wars start over these type of things. You may remember the freak out from the likes of MSNBC and Rachel Maddow. In fact, we have this clip of exactly how serious the media took it when Donald Trump only spoke on the phone.
And this does reflect the biggest foreign policy change toward the most populous nation on earth since the 1970s. This conceivably throws a grenade into one of our most carefully built, fragile, important foreign policy relationships with the largest nation on earth.
This is terrible. How could he have done such a thing?
This means war. This is not, these are foreign policy mishaps that now it sort of disrupts the equilibrium that we have going right now with China. Well, okay, we don't care about that anymore, I suppose.
I guess. So in addition to the New York Times slamming this trip as utterly reckless, CNN also slamming this as a mistake. I'm surprised to see these liberal rags saying this, but Pelosi's Taiwan visit risks creating greater instability between the U.S. and China. Look at that headline. There it is. Both in the analysis point to this very thing that's going to lead to greater destabilization. We already saw that in the economic markets. I mean, you talk about cratering a currency, which is what we did by the announcement. Literally, markets plummeted as a result of this. So, how many people's livelihoods did you disrupt for your little visit overnight to meet with the president of Taiwan?
Yes. I don't know. We will have to watch for it. Some global policy experts were saying, well, maybe she'll go, but she won't spend the night. Well, she arrived late at night, so clearly she's not going to take a next red-eye flight out of there. But then now the question remains, which we will keep our eye on, what is there to do, right, besides just take pictures for your social media? Who do you need to meet with? I think that the American taxpayers, as well as the people of Taiwan, are owed a real explanation of why do such an expensive and dangerous thing if it's just to talk about climate change policy, which governments have shown that they are shit at, right? Or, I don't know. Someone in the chat points out she has some investments there, but then that should not be a taxpayer-funded visit. I would like some real answers.
We've got a lot more to talk about on the show. We hope you are a subscriber of the show. We're live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Yes, some people in the chat are asking right now, are you guys live? Yes, we are live. So if you suffered through the beginning part of our show tonight, this is live television. We had some audio issues because we had a whole new capture card that was installed in our streaming computers and stuff. So anyway, we got that all ironed out, I think, right? We're all good now on that front, I hope. I hope we're good.
Seems to be.
But anyway, good, good, good. Okay, cross
Poor
our fingers.
Poor Philip, he's like pushing buttons and moving around.
Yeah, Philip's our director, our should I call it? Yeah, technical director, director.
Technical director.
Making everything happen behind the scenes. Yeah, pulling everything together. So we've got a lot more news to get here on the show. We're going to talk, we just talked about Pelosi in Taiwan, but we are going to talk about what's going on in Serbia next. We'll talk about that with NATO. They remember all too well NATO bombing there a number of years ago and leaving that country in ruins. We visited Serbia just recently and had a chance to talk with a lot of fine people in that country. And they remember that war all too well. And so here we go again. What is NATO doing in Serbia? We'll bring you that. We're also going to talk about the farmer revolts, why this is not getting any coverage in the mainstream media. We'll look at that. And we're going to look at the latest on Al-Qaeda and the lies and hypocrisy from the U.S. government on this assassination of Ayman al-Zawahiri in Afghanistan. But first, tell us about our friends over at Shopify.
That's right. All right. Well, we hope that if you have a small business, you are often hearing the sound of that cha-ching. That is the sound that makes one smile. It's the sound of another sale on Shopify. Shopify is the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone who sells anything, anywhere. It gives entrepreneurs like us the resources once reserved for big business, customized for your needs with a great-looking online store that brings your ideas to life and tools to manage your day-to-day and drive sales. It makes your idea real and opens endless possibilities so that you don't have to specialize in how you present yourself to the world. You have a beautiful storefront with Shopify. Believe me, as Shopify powers millions of entrepreneurs just like us from first sale to full scale. And every 28 seconds, a small business owner makes their first sale on Shopify. So get started by building and customizing your beautiful online store with no coding or design experience. Plus, you get 24/7 support, so you're never alone. It's more than a store. Shopify grows with you. So go to shopify.com/redacted, that's all lowercase, for your free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Start selling on Shopify today. That's shopify.com/redacted right now. That's Shopify, shopify.com/redacted.
Someone in our chat, I think Africa Rain in our chat says, man, I never knew that the Democrats were such war, you know, warmongers. And look, if you
new. That's their new thing.
That's not their new thing. If you look at the history of these, both of these parties, they absolutely love the military-industrial complex, right? This is how it's always been, right? The expansion of the military, the expansion of our defense budget has happened under both parties. That's why when they pass these defense bills in the United States, they go through without any there's like no public debate about them. They are passed. Even people like Rand Paul, who claim to be, you know, libertarian and want to stand up against this sort of interference in the world, always vote for these things, or at least don't put too much of a wrench in the works to allow these things to pass. Bernie Sanders, right? Supposed to be anti-war Democrat. He hasn't spoken out of it at all. Haven't heard a peep from him on any of this stuff. So these guys love this kind of stuff. They absolutely love war. They love the military-industrial complex. And they love supporting the U.S. dollar. At the heart of all of this is pushing the
U.S. agenda. If it's a means to an end, absolutely. Yeah. Hey, I want to say thank you to the person who gave a super chat for the producers, because it's not easy what they're doing, and we try really hard to work together as a team. And that was nice of you to recognize them in the background. So thank you for that.
Yes, we have a great team here and work really, really hard. So hopefully we put on a free show for you every day and we work really, really hard on it. So all we ask in return is just maybe a smash that like button. Really helps if you smash the like button, whether you're on an Apple TV or Roku or on your mobile device. It pushes us further out into the algorithm on Rumble and on YouTube. And it really helps support the show. Okay, let's talk about Serbia. And we promised you last night we were going to talk about this and more developments overnight about this. But stop us if you've heard this one before, right? Which is the story where NATO sticks its neck into a country's affairs and ends up ruining, running it right into the ground, right? Enter Serbia, which remains, which you'll remember the NATO bombings. They all remember it very, very well, the NATO bombings of their country, you know, in the 1990s, all too well. And then, of course, Kosovo declared independence from Serbia in 2008. Well, there's a whole new mess unfolding before us.
I mean, they're fighting right now over license plates and government IDs. So that will put this into perspective. It sounds trivial, but it really is not if you live in that region. So Kosovo declared independence in 2008, but Serbia does not recognize them as an independent nation.
With the help of NATO, they did this. So yes. This isn't like, hey, Kosovo just one day decided. No, this was NATO's forcing them to do this, right?
Yeah, well, that's not the way NATO puts it. They call them peacekeepers.
Right, of course.
Okay, so many Serbian people living in the region also do not recognize that they live in the independent nation of Kosovo. Serbia calls this region the autonomous province of Kosovo and Metohija. So now there are protests because the government in Kosovo wants to require anyone crossing the border to switch out their license plate from a Serbian license plate to a Kosovo license plate and carry an ID, basically a sort of duplicate ID, saying that they belong in Kosovo. You can be Serbian and get this ID, right? So many people do not support this decision and they don't want it, specifically ethnic Serbians living in this region. When this was announced last September, there were blockades from truckers and people who were blocking border crossings, but with the help of NATO peacekeepers, the blockades were taken down and they sort of stood down until this law was supposed to take place, which was yesterday, August 1st. So we have video of some military planes flying over these blockades last September. So we'll play this for you. So you see, it was a fairly peaceful protest, but there was a strong military reaction to it. So now the law was supposed to go into effect August 1st, and the blockades were set back up, and it created much conflict in the region. Go ahead.
Steve Young says, my brother went there as a peacekeeper. Some of the photos that he showed me were horrific. They really hate each other. Well, we were just in Serbia, and you could still see, I mean, many of the bombed out buildings, which, in you know, and some, you know, some are left there intentionally, obviously, to remind. And we spoke to a number of citizens and you know, government employees and others who said, you know, it was horrific, right? The bombings that unfolded, taking our children to the basement as NATO planes overhead and bombing our buildings. And Russia over the past 24 hours saying, knock it off. Russian foreign ministry coming out saying, knock off this provocation to the United States and to NATO. So Serbia has the support of Russia. Again, when people think
Russia does not recognize Kosovo, there are very few nations.
Right.
You know, go ahead. Sorry.
No. So that my point is that Russia has, they have their support. They recently, of course, signed a gas agreement with
Serbia did.
With Russia to make sure that its citizens are taken care of through the rest of the winter. Right. And make sure that, you know, they're not sticking their necks in sanctions as well. But go on, continue, because you.
Right. The Serbian economy is strong and they have kind of chosen their sides to ally further with Russia than with Europe and the United States in the war over Ukraine. They are not getting involved in that. But when the German Prime Minister Olaf Scholz visited Serbia earlier this year, he did sort of ask, well, you know, there's this Kosovo thing that is very much like the territorial conflict in Ukraine. And the president of Serbia said, it's none of your business. That's for us to, you know, we don't really welcome your input on this. Now, the law has been, the implementation of this license plate law has been pushed out a month to September 1st. The Prime Minister of Kosovo, Albin Kurti, posted this. Can we put his tweet up? And I will. Oh, I was going to read that, but I don't know if I'm going to, even with my glasses.
You want me to read it? I'll read it. The government of the Republic of Kosovo forcefully condemns the obstruction of roads in the north of Kosovo and the firing of weapons by armed persons there today. This has everything to do with a tendency to destabilize Kosovo and to threaten the peace and security of our citizens and our country. Multiple aggressive acts were perpetrated this afternoon and evening, instigated and planned by Belgrade authorities. And then it goes on.
So that is very inflammatory speech. He's saying that Serbia actually is instigating these blockades. And so now NATO is helping to remove these blockades. And we'll see if this goes any smoother when the law goes into effect in less than 30 calendar days. So, you know, it's interesting because the United States is recognizing these conflicts and NATO powers are going in and flexing their muscles and saying, we support these sovereign nations, right? And then what we've seen play out now in these three regions now, Ukraine, Taiwan, right? And now Serbia is that we sort of send some, you know, popular but not presidential person over to show up. In, so, you know, who? Like Ted Cruz. This is the template, right? Right. So then Ted Cruz or I don't know who would be better for this and say, we support independent Kosovo. And then we have the same thing. Like it's just a rinse and repeat.
Some really good comments in the chat that I want to kind of call attention to, and a great point by Rick in the chat says, you know, remember, Kosovo is Serbian ancestral land. Taiwan was never really part of China, right? So an important distinction sure. there. Also comments about Serbia sending peacekeepers as friends, family members to this area. They never saw them again after they went, disappeared, gone. That NATO and others used depleted uranium mm-hmm. also in Belgrade. And so really, really awful. And so again, this idea that NATO is once again blockade, you saw them even blockading roads overnight. We featured that in the yeah. newsletter, you know, blockading roads, getting involved. How many places does NATO want to create a proxy war
and sort of acting as if, well, it's just fair, right? Because Kosovo citizens who travel into Serbia and cross the border the other way are required to change the license plates and the IDs. And so NATO is treating it as if it's a simple act of just like have dual citizenship. It's kind of fun, right? And it's just not that easy. It's so much more nuanced and emotional for the people who live in this region.
Right. Yeah, it is. Absolutely. And so NATO says they're prepared to step in and remove these blockades. You know, as you pointed out in the newsletter so far, Nancy Pelosi has stayed out of this one. Maybe she'll fly there next.
Maybe we'll track her flight and see if she shows up there tomorrow, if she's got some...
Yeah, where's she want to go next? Like, okay, she's in Taiwan now. She'll fly to Serbia next. And it's a beautiful country, and the economy is doing really, really well. And this is the thing in Serbia, right? So you see, as we're driving through downtown Belgrade and you're on your way to the airport or in surrounding neighborhoods, you're seeing a lot of construction. You're seeing businesses opening. You're seeing thriving nightlife. You're seeing a Serbia that does not want to be involved in conflict, does not want to be involved in war, wants to stay out of it. You see a president of Serbia who is making sure that the people of Serbia are taken care of.
Yes.
And signing gas agreements with Russia to make sure that they are staying away from sanctions and making sure that gas continues to flow during a very cold winter in Serbia. Would be refreshing, actually, to have presidents that actually give a shit about their own people and are sort of and standing strong with their own people instead of what we've got in the United States right now and other Western leaders, you know.
We have a Air Force, Allied Force pilot.
I'm who... an F-15C pilot, Allied Force Kosovo, was my first assignment and first combat. I felt what I did then was virtuous, but like many wars over the past few decades, clear hindsight differs. Takes a lot, AM, to admit that, you know, to say, look, we have friends in the military, we have friends, Marine pilots and others who, you know, there's a lot of conflict that they deal with, right? That they're carrying out missions from a NATO command, and they have to live with that. And then years later, they realize, holy shit, I was lied to, or I was told these things.
Well, I think my conjecture is that you're told enough small pieces to believe that you're doing right. And then, you know, I think very seldom does history support any kind of violent conflict as the right thing right. to do. So, which is why we maintain anti-war stance on this channel, even though big tech does not.
No, big tech loves conflict, loves war, and so does Western media. But we are absolutely—it's amazing how out of favor being anti-war is. Like we are vehemently anti-war, but you know, you turn on any of the mainstream media, you see Congress, you see what Western leaders are pushing for. You know, even when there's been push towards peace in in Ukraine, you have Boris Johnson getting on a plane and flying into Kiev, telling Zelensky, under no circumstances are you to negotiate a peace agreement.
Yeah, right? we're just with you the whole time, so let people continue to die.
Selvin says, yeah, solution, do an American Belt and Road initiative. Yeah, wouldn't that be an idea, right? So,
well, we can't do that if we send all our money to war zones.
Right.
Imagine that. You have to prioritize.
Whatever happened to Build Back Better? Right? The Build Back Better plan in the United States, right? We can't do it. We can't do it because we send $800 billion dollars a year into war zones. Go ahead, Philip.
The U.S. has something very similar to the Belt and Roadways, and that's just like bomb and obfuscate, which is not quite, it doesn't quite have the same ring to it, but
catchy.
I mean, that's basically what we do. It's like, it's catchy, bombs and obfuscate, because that's, I mean, we spread democracy bombs our way. Freedom bombs.
Yeah. I know, I just thought it was hilarious, too. You have Nancy Pelosi saying, you know, landing in Taiwan and saying, you know, we're here to support democracy. Like, we stand with these countries that support democracy. Really? Is that what you do? Western values? You fly? She was just in Kiev, you know, hanging out with Vladimir Zelensky just a short time ago, talking about the ideals, the democracy that we stand with. These are the American ideals that we're supporting. Really? Are you doing that? Is that what Ukraine is doing? Standing with democracy? Standing for American ideals? I guess so, when we spend so much money on bombing. I don't know. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel. All you have to do is hit that subscribe button. YouTube likes to unsubscribe people at random. I don't know why, because they like to suppress the kind of content that we cover here on the show. So please make sure that you're subscribed. Just hit that little subscribe button and smash that like button. We've got a lot more news to get to. We are going to talk about what's happening in the Netherlands and other areas that are experiencing these farmer revolts, and why the mainstream media is totally ignoring these stories. I spent a couple hours today going through a whole bunch of different mainstream media websites and newspapers and can find almost no mention of these farmer revolts. It's unbelievable, actually. Even in the countries where these things are happening, there's no coverage of them. It's almost as if they don't want you to know about it. So we will talk about that. We're also going to talk about the monkeypox emergency. Has your state or country declared a monkeypox emergency? Because it's happening. State after state are now declaring monkeypox emergencies. We'll tell you about that. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Fabric. You know, life's already complicated enough, but what if getting term life insurance to protect your family could actually be easy, pretty darn easy? And it actually is. Fabric has moved life insurance all online, all to the internet. So getting a policy that's right for your family isn't complicated at all. It can happen very fast. You can be set up in just a few minutes. In 10 minutes, you can be up and running with a policy for your family. Fabric was built by parents. Now, I talked to their team, and the whole idea when they built Fabric was they wanted to make it easy for families who are dealing with all kinds of stuff in their life to be able to set up and get your family's finances all together under one roof and take care of everything in one place. Fabric makes it easy because it's all online. Everything you can do, you can apply in just minutes and be up and running. They have new lower prices, meaning significant savings on other from other providers, with great quality policies like $1 million in coverage for less than a dollar a day for your insurance. Fabric has over 1,600 five-star reviews on Trustpilot. And they have a 30-day money-back guarantee also, so you can cancel at any time. But you need to make sure you're taking care of your family. Get your family's finances in order and protect them. Fabric's online hub lets you handle all of your finances in one place. Not just life insurance, but they'll create and they'll start your kids' coverage for college savings as well. And even set up a rainy day savings fund all in one place. So protect your family's financial future with Fabric. Apply today in just 10 minutes at meetfabric.com/redacted. So the website, once again, if you're listening on the audio version of our show, which we have, by the way, we have an audio podcast version. It's meetfabric.com/redacted, M-E-E-T, fabric.com/redacted. Fabric Insurance Agency policies issued by Vantis Life, not available in New York and Montana. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions. Why is New York always the sore thumb? New York, you know, anytime you got like something really good, like, I don't know, different exchanges or different things there, New York doesn't allow it. I don't know why. So many regulations in that state.
I don't know.
Make sure you're subscribed to the channel, and please subscribe to our daily newsletter as well. If you go to redacted.inc, we have a daily newsletter. It's totally free. You can read it over your cup of coffee first thing in the morning. We usually publish around 6 a.m. Eastern time. So depending on where you are in the world, It'll hit your inbox around that same time. Let us know where you're joining us from today in the chat. I see everyone here typing in the chat.
I saw a hello from France earlier. Saw a hello from China, where I think they said it was 4 a.m.
So. 4 a.m. in China right now.
You need to go to bed, young man.
Yeah, let us know. Lady. Let's see who's the furthest away. Let's see if we can find somebody from like Yellowknife, Canada, or the Northern Territories.
Okay.
Let's see.
Anybody from the upside down?
Peru. We've got Peru in the house. I can't. In the upside down. Pennsylvania, Cambridge.
Spain, Switzerland.
Joplin, Missouri, Canada, Germany, Florida, Kansas.
Oh, a lot of Europeans. A lot of
Germans surprised. Here. Willkommen.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about Europe. Those of you who
Darf
are...
ich bitte meinen Bleistift spitzen. All right. Should we talk about?
What did you just say?
That's for our German friends to know.
Netherlands, Montenegro. All right. So that person in the Netherlands, that's moving too fast. I didn't catch
Israel,
your name.
Israel. North Dakota in the house. Morocco. We were just in Morocco and Marrakesh a little while ago.
Maine, London.
If we're in Morocco again, we'll look you up. We'll have a, I guess you can't get a drink in Morocco, but
you can have a coffee. You can have
a coffee or a tea.
We went out on a Saturday night in Morocco, and because they don't drink alcohol there, people were drinking it late at night, like 10 p.m., humongous coffees. And I was like, how are they going to sleep after that? Clayton right. could have that and go to sleep.
Yeah, I can fall asleep right
now. I couldn't. Yeah. I wonder, do people just stay up super late if you have those coffees as your beverage of choice with your dinner?
Yeah, let us know in Morocco what you guys do.
So fascinated by all the humongous coffees with dinner. I couldn't. Yeah, this was crazy to me.
Boy. Sovereignty for Kosovo, but not for Donbass. Double standards of NATO on full display. That is a very interesting point. Good point on that. All right.
Okay, we're going to talk about the Netherlands and the farmer protests that continue to rage through the region and why the mainstream media seems utterly uninterested in this. Instead, they want to look at things that maybe are more convenient for them. Now, this comes, these protests have been raging since July, since the government decided to put new strict environmental restrictions that apply specifically to farmers in the region, which will make their job even harder than it already is, put restrictions that are sort of moving targets, and provide them with very little guidance on what to do next over nitrogen emissions.
Right. So farmers are revolting, saying we've had enough of this. In fact, we played some sound bites from some farmers in the Netherlands that says we know what they're up to. They're trying to take our land, right? They're trying to bankrupt all of these small farmers, and they're trying to take our land. They're trying to consolidate power. It's all about power. It's all about money. And so we have some new video over the past 24 hours. This is the latest. We've seen this on different highways, but here's the A228 motorway. Farmers blocking roads, continuing to barricade. You can see these on fire here. As you can hit play on that one, Philip, if you want. You can see as these they're driving down the street here. You can see setting up these different setting up different barricades so you can't get through. These farmers are saying enough is enough is enough, and we are not going to take it. They're not backing down. Now, this story got coverage a few weeks ago, right? We covered it here on the show.
Yes.
But I've been following it very closely, and it's gotten worse. And there's no mainstream media coverage of it. There's literally no mainstream media coverage of it. If you go to the BBC's website right now, if you want to see the BBC, right, the bastion of journalism, the BBC, there's no mention of it. Here's the BBC. You're going to take a look at that. No mention of it at all, right? There's no coverage there. Then let's go to look at the top Dutch newspaper, okay? This is if I'm saying this wrong, if you're in the Netherlands, I'm sorry. This is one of the many newspapers in the Netherlands. It's one of the top ones, De Telegraaf. I don't know if I'm saying that right. No coverage of it. They're covering Taiwan, of course. They're covering Nancy Pelosi landing. So they're up to the minute with coverage. This is one of the top newspapers. No mention, though, of the farmer protests that are blocking government buildings and roadways in that area. Nothing like that at all, right?
Well, the media is no longer an ombudsman for average workers, right? They're not. I mean, we learned that. We should have learned that lesson during the pandemic, mm-hmm. perhaps, especially during the trucker convoy in Canada. And we've seen that continuously through anything that affects sort of disenfranchised non-corporate entities. The media just is not interested in speaking for them. But I am continuously interested in how politicians decide that they are going to make unilateral decisions in order to look like they are on the side of the environment, but not really harm anybody. This specific issue was because in the Netherlands, they were not hitting their target emissions, and they wanted to obtain permits for building expansion, and they were too far over their emissions. So they said, well, we're going to cut over here. So who do they choose? Not corporate buddies, because, okay, we need to build more, and so we're going to harm these farmers. Now, you know, all of us want environmental change that's good for the planet, right? We want these things that are actually good, but we don't want changes that will hurt working class people first. And we don't want change that is sort of perfunctory, I guess, is the word that I'm looking for. Now, I've mentioned many times on this show that I recently became, because of these protests, I became aware of the research from Bjorn Lomborg. He was on Fox News 3 weeks ago talking about this. And he says that politicians are just sort of willy-nilly making these laws. They ignore the real things that we can do to combat climate change. Go ahead and take a listen.
So look, it's not really a new story. Politicians make grand promises, but they have no intention of actually keeping them. But what happens then is they get sued in court, and suddenly they have to live up to them. Now, they promised to cut their nitrogen emissions dramatically from farming, and that turns out to be really, really hard and hence very, very costly. This is the same kind of thing that we're now seeing with climate. Politicians making grand promises, which sound great, but which will actually lead to a lot of cost and a lot of unhappy people. That's not the right way forward to actually get a better environment.
Now, he makes the case in his book, which I think is so compelling because I had never thought of this before, that the wealthier nations become and the wealthier sort of working class people become, the easier it gets to innovate and make changes that do affect the climate in positive ways, right? So hurting the poorest people first is usually the worst way to go. And, you know, that's exactly what politicians are doing. There's no, if you read his book, he has many things that we can do to make climate change in real ways, but instead politicians like to stand in front of solar panels and wind farms and say, look what we're doing, right?
So, yeah, we had Energy Secretary Granholm. She was on MSNBC this morning, and I didn't put it in the show, but it just reminded me of this. She was asked specifically about what is the White House plan? You know, what is America's plan to get energy moving again in the United States? What about opening up these oil lands? What about the leases for these companies? And she said, the problem is she said it's the bureaucracy, that we're trying to speed up those oil and gas leases. It just takes forever. She's like, it just takes too long. But there's something we can do right now, she said, which is to really work on the offshore wind farms, really work on the solar panel, really work on sustainable and renewables. We need to do that right now. Are you out of your mind? Like, are you literally out of your mind? That's going to take less time than through an executive order with a pen and a paper opening up lands so that we can start quickly drilling to put down. First of all, if you know any of those, and I've interviewed a lot of these different oil drilling companies over the years and people that work for these companies, I can't tell you how many times I've done interviews with these people. And it does not take very long at all to set up. Yes, if you're going to build an entire offshore rig in the Gulf of Mexico, that's a different animal. But setting up to drill on some of these lands does not take as long as it would take to build all sorts of infrastructure for solar and wind and all of this craziness. It's
right.
It's
and
ridiculous.
When you actually look at the power that is able to be produced by solar, it is not as impressive as you think. Now, before reading this research, I was of the opinion that all of us need to just learn to conserve, stop plugging in everything that, you know, takes a plug and change our lifestyle. I am not of that opinion as much anymore, especially when you see sort of case examples such as a town in Africa he writes about that is completely off the grid, right? Only on solar power, and children can't do their homework at night because they're just simply the amount of solar panels and cannot sustain what the town wants. And 60% of the residents there say, can you please plug us into the grid for nighttime so our kids can do homework at night? I mean, you can make all kinds of arguments about, like, well, humans should shut down, right? We shouldn't have light pollution. We shouldn't. And that's one thing, but we live this way now, right? And the only way to get ourselves out of the climate crisis is to innovate, not necessarily take away, just wrestle comforts away
people. Take away your farms. We're going to go to the Netherlands. We're going to take away your farms because we can't hit a nitrogen target, like an arbitrary nitrogen target, right? So that's now literally you're crushing people. And it's all part of the plan. You know, again, if you sit back and you say, like, well, why are they doing this? Don't they care about the people? No, they don't care about the people. They absolutely do not. They absolutely do not. Someone pointed out in the chat that in these two of the biggest newspapers in the Netherlands are owned by Belgian companies. This person said, if anyone's reading Belgian newspapers, they should have their head examined. They're stupid because they're getting their news from, you know, millionaire funded owned Belgian companies. Again, it's all consolidation of power, right? These companies are all run by billionaires and millionaires, and it's all consolidated. So when you're in the United States and you pick up the worst newspaper in the United States is the USA Today. Right next to it is the New York Times. Right next to it is any Gannett-owned newspaper. All of these things are owned and consolidated. So they're handing out the same crap, printing the same stuff, and keeping us stupid. I mean, hopefully that's why when you watch this show, you realize that we don't get our news from those places.
Yeah.
And we try to cover the stories that you're not going to see other places, like this African angle to this story.
Just one more thing about this nitrogen emissions, because there is research, we covered it in the newsletter, that if you feed these animals, for instance, seaweed, it reduces the amount of nitrogen that they produce through their waste, right? So there are real ways that we could combat that without hurting people. It just doesn't seem to be a politician's priority at all. Now the world is sort of condemning Africa for wanting to use its own gas. You see this article in The Guardian today. African leaders are trying to make the case for big rise in fossil fuel output. So The Guardian has seen this technical document that was prepared by the African Union, comprising most of Africa's states, for the second extraordinary session of the Specialized Technical Committee of Transport, Transcontinental, and Infrastructure and Energy Committee. The document states, in the short term, to medium term, fossil fuels, especially natural gas, will have to play a crucial role in expanding modern energy access in addition to accelerating the uptake of renewables. So what they're saying is, for the time being, we'd like to use our own gas because we have plenty, right? And make sure that we're not dependent on other continents for our energy consumption in order to increase GDP in African nations. And then we will find a way to reduce our reliance on fossil fuel. So, you know, environmentalists are saying, no, you shouldn't do this, right? Don't plug yourself in. Don't make yourself sort of dependent on this, what the whole rest of the world has made this mistake, which is just, I find it so interesting because it's like, don't do as we do. You need to stay in your like poverty dependent state. Don't use your own oil. We can all condemn Africa for wanting progress, right? So I find this especially interesting.
Yeah. So again, farmers sticking it to the man. Hopefully more people pay attention to it. Hopefully we get solutions to this. And hopefully these governments will back down again, you know, being led by this World Economic Forum mission, these arbitrary numbers, and to buy up farmland to crush these small businesses and to consolidate power. That's what we saw during the pandemic. And that's why we're going to talk more about what's going on in the next pandemic, which we're likely to see. We'll talk about that in a moment, because we're going to look at monkeypox and the next emergency. Yeah, and you're going to see this. I think there's a plan. I have an idea behind this monkeypox stuff. We'll talk about that in a moment and why these states are declaring these states of emergency, and what's going to be coming before the midterm elections. So I have a theory on that. So make sure you watch here in just a minute, because I want to see if you guys agree with me or not. We're also going to look at the lies and the hypocrisy surrounding the assassination of Ayman al-Zawahiri, the Al-Qaeda leader. You're hitting this like victory lap by the United States. We will look at that on Al-Qaeda in just a moment.
But first, we want to tell you about our show sponsor over at Indeed. Now, your business is your dream, your baby. You only want people working with you who share your dream and have the skills to help your business grow. And you can find them faster with Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's powerful hiring partner can help you do it all. Find great talent faster through time-saving tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. With Instant Match, over 80% of employers get quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match their job description the moment that they sponsor a job. According to Indeed data, Indeed helps star applicants to shine with over 135 assessment tests from cooking to coding. In fact, Indeed assessment tests take the stress out of the interview process. Your candidates can find you, so instead of you seeking them out. So right now, let's see, in the minute I've been talking to you, in fact, 16 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. Indeed is the number one source of hires in the U.S. 81% of online job seekers search for their jobs on Indeed. So if you need to hire, you need Indeed. Do we have? Yes, we do. If you right now want to get a $75 sponsored job credit, you can go to Indeed.com/redacted. This is a limited time offer. So claim your $75 credit right now at Indeed.com/redacted. Once again, that's Indeed.com/redacted. Terms and conditions apply. If you need to hire, you need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Hey, AJ from Salt Lake City, Utah is here. Jared Crenshaw, Martavis Parker, and Belinda, Storm Evans is here. Angel Baby Cards is here. Joshua Stewart.
Good to see ya.
Good to see all of you guys. So thank you guys for joining us and subscribing to the channel. We've got two more stories we want to get to here. Let's talk about monkeypox. So city after city, state after state are starting to declare states of emergency over monkeypox. First, it was New York City, then it was California. So now we have, you know, we have California declaring a state of emergency as monkeypox spreads. Here was the headline in the New York Times. Three states have now issued emergency declarations in the past week, as has New York City and San Francisco. You can see here on the screen. And then, of course, you have now Illinois issuing a state of emergency. The U.S. Illinois governor declares state of emergency over monkeypox. There you go. And there's the headline there. Governor Jay Pritzker said on Twitter on Monday, "I am declaring a state of emergency to expand the resources and coordination efforts of state agencies in responding to and treating preventing the spread of monkeypox virus." So there you go. That's Illinois. Now you have California, you have New York. But as the New York Times is reporting, there are no deaths. Right. So the New York Times, in the same article that's pointing out, of course, that they're declaring states of emergency, no deaths have been reported so far in the United States. And monkeypox is rarely fatal, but the rash caused by the virus has led to intense pain in some patients. Yeah. Just like chickenpox. Yeah. Just like chickenpox. Right. Have you ever had chickenpox?
I don't know if it's just like chickenpox, but the symptoms do seem to be very similar. And in fact, most reporting is that the symptom that it's that you also get flu-like symptoms.
Okay. So. Well, meanwhile, Big Pharma, of course, racing to cash in on this latest vaccine. While there are known natural cures that do exist. In fact, this study is being blocked on social media right now. Number of people who've posted this study have been banned or blocked or had it removed. I love this, right? That Facebook and Twitter are removing studies about the effectiveness of resveratrol in virtually stopping the spread of monkeypox. This is just one example.
I also would like to point out that resveratrol is the chemical that red wine drinkers like to tout as the reason that they drink red wine. You cannot get enough of it from just one glass to like really have a big enough difference, but still.
But in pill form, resveratrol.
Right.
Right. And here's the study, right? Here's the study. Let's put this up on this. Here's the abstract. The study, pox virus continue to cause serious disease even after eradication of the historically deadly infectious human disease, smallpox. Pox viruses are currently being developed as vaccine vectors and cancer therapeutic agents. Resveratrol is a natural polyphenol stebanoid found in plants that has been shown to inhibit or enhance replication of a number of viruses, but the effect of resveratrol on pox virus replication is unknown. In the present study, we found that resveratrol dramatically suppressed the replication of the virus. But you promote this on social media in the face of big pharma racing to put out new vaccines for monkeypox, and you'll be banned or it'll be taken off of social media, which has happened to a number of people.
So let's talk a little bit about the treatment that is currently available. It's called Tecovirimat, and it's sold under the brand name Tepox. It has not been approved by the FDA for monkeypox, but the CDC has made it available from the Strategic National Stockpile through expanded access during the global outbreak, which has caused about 5,800 probable or confirmed deaths in the United States. So Tepox is approved to treat smallpox, but most people are not vaccinated for smallpox any longer in the United States. In fact, I sort of mistakenly thought that it might be similar to chickenpox vaccine. It's not, right? And so in the United States, we vaccinate for chickenpox through the varicella vaccine. Mm-hmm. This has nothing to do with that.
So Tepox sounds like a rapper, right?
It does.
Like Tepox.
Right. According to this article on CNN, I want to point this out to you, that the World Health Organization declared smallpox eradicated in 1980, but concerns that the virus could be weaponized drove the U.S. government to stockpile more than 1.7 million courses of the drug in the case of a bioterrorism event. So what we need to learn here, it also says Tepox is approved in the European Union to treat monkeypox as well as smallpox. So what's interesting is that the United States has this stockpile of Tepox in the event of an outbreak, which is what we have by some definitions, but the United States is saving it in case there is some sort of bioweapon where it's released on the population. So, okay, conspiracy theorists, have at it, right? Tepox is considered safe by the FDA and the CDC. But look at this. Patients have to sign a waiver, a consent form, to get Tepox, and doctors must request access from the CDC or their local health department, which involves submitting things like lab tests and consent forms. Now, some hospitals won't use it because it's considered experimental, which is why now more often you can get it from research hospitals like a UC system or a university hospital. This is an interesting quote from a doctor at UCSF. He says, you know, this is really interesting because now Tepox has been disproportionately used in academic medical centers that have the better infrastructure. And this doctor says, this is really interesting. And it was like that during COVID too, where a county that doesn't have Tepox will negotiate with another county and the hospital to take the patient if they are ill and would need Tepox. So we may get another patient from another county in the East Bay today. Okay, some patients are saying that it takes up to 4 days to even get it. So it's possible that these declarations of emergency are here in order to get some of that stockpile that the United States government has.
Perhaps, but I happen to think that it is something different. So here's my theory on the states of emergency and this new, you know, fear-mongering about a pandemic. You know, even as Martavis Parker in our chat just said, yeah, Bill Gates released a book just a few months ago on getting ready for the next pandemic. President Biden said, as soon as we have the next pandemic, like, so people talk about the plandemic, right? These planned events. And you have to think, oh, here we are going into a midterm election. You're going into the fall. Why is Nancy Pelosi suddenly flying to Taiwan Why are we talking about states of emergency for monkeypox? Why is CNN and all of these other news organizations drumming up fear around, you know, pustules that pop up on your arm?
Yeah.
No deaths in the United States. You might feel some pain. You might have some flu. And Big Pharma is racing to get a vaccine out to people in ahead of the midterm elections. And the idea is we don't want people going out into public. Here's my theory. We don't want you going out in public. We all want you doing mail-in balloting. Stay at home once again for midterm fear-mongering. You know, we'll have lockdowns. We'll have mandates. We'll put people behind. Make sure you can't go to schools. I don't know. But I guarantee you're going to start to see people pushing.
That's a long leap to make, though.
Is it? We already went through this. Like, again, I see someone in the chat saying conspiracy theory facts. Because what are conspiracy theories, right? But just spoiler alerts, right? 6 months from now, this stuff ends up coming true. We saw what happened during the last pandemic.
Yeah.
Right? We saw what happened with mail-in ballots. We saw what happened with businesses being crushed.
I don't deny that these things seem to be, but monkeypox?
Why are we seeing states of emergency declared in blue states?
I don't know. You know, the thing that bothers me the most about this is that I refuse to buy into another pandemic that makes everybody's body a weapon, right? And so like, oh, I can't get close to you. Like, we all recall how it felt to like see an elderly person and be like, I can't help you across the street because I might kill you, right? Things that now make us treat our bodies as time bombs. I'm not here for it. I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah. So, well, and you know, again, so this idea that if you are a member of a certain community, that you're more prone to getting this, you know, again, these big pushes from the media. And I'm always leery of this stuff. Like, where is the centralized messaging coming from? When we find out that the CDC, we did a whole video yesterday. I encourage you all to go to watch the CDC video we did yesterday on the email leaks and the cover up. And what are they hiding at the CDC? About the adverse reporting system as it relates to other vaccines. What are they doing to also partner up with big tech companies to push out, you know, going and getting and getting jabs, right? The Google and Facebook connection and all of this stuff that the CDC has now been caught red-handed with, right? That's been admitted to. So again, I wonder where the central messaging comes from. And it's all so convenient as we get ready to go back to school.
But right? What's interesting here
and
is
midterm
that
elections.
If we're going to play this out as an intentional pandemic, this time they're starting with treatment, not necessarily vaccines, right? Whereas COVID, it seemed that there were ways to treat COVID that were not allowed to be talked about, and all the conversation centered around the vaccine only, right?
But again, this resveratrol study that we just talked about is being suppressed
because there's TPOXX,
right? Yeah. So you can pay, so you can go get like a natural resveratrol, which is shown in this study to suppress, right? So hey, it's natural, right? It comes from grapes.
It may not be too long until people in our position won't be able to discuss that either.
Yeah, so you might not be able to say.
Let's move on before we get in trouble.
Be retroactively banned for that.
So let's just say that resveratrol is also present in red wine. Uh-huh. And if you like that,
if you like red wine,
maybe that will lessen your exposure to monkeypox.
Yeah.
So
someone in the chat said, "Hey, my neighbor drinks." My neighbor. Someone in the chat says, "My neighbor drinks and is acting like a monkey." So.
That also could be related.
You could have the red wine and act like a monkey, therefore getting monkey pox. Go ahead, Philip. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, it's a good thing you caught that because it's not on the ban list now. If they put it on the ban list, they do go back. So we'll see how that plays
out. Isn't that amazing? Like, we could have a video from a year ago where we talk about something that's now been, you know, and like YouTube will go back and retroactively ban you for something free speech. I mean, the free speech stuff is absolutely being crushed, right? I want to do a video this week on that because they're going after Russell Brand now. They're taking channels down left and right. Well, we'll talk about it another time. We got more news to get to here on the show. I do want to talk about Al-Qaeda. So buckle up because this story is really, really fascinating. Please don't go anywhere. Don't change the channel. Don't turn off the YouTubes. Don't turn off Rumble. I want to talk about Al-Qaeda, and this story is utterly fascinating. as it relates to Syria and what just happened in Afghanistan and the bumbling, lying leadership of our political leaders. So we're going to get there in just a second. But first, my fellow Americans, if you have an IRA, a 401k, or a savings account, things are scary out there right now. The Biden administration has now printed more money in the past 2 years than the previous 100 years combined. Just let that sink in for a second. The national debt hit a record $30 trillion. And inflation is the highest we've seen since 1982. And yesterday, we just approved another $500 million to Ukraine on top of the 70 that we've already sent to Ukraine. So if you have a retirement or savings account, your money could be at serious risk right now. So talk to my friends over at Gold Co. to see how they can help you protect your retirement with gold and silver before it's too late. So here's what you can do. You get up to $10,000 in free silver when you open a qualifying account with Gold Co. You go to the website. It's redactedlikesgold.com. See on the screen there in little red line where it says redactedlikesgold.com. That's the website you need to go to. redactedlikesgold.com to get $10,000 or more in free silver when you open a qualifying account. So again, redactedlikesgold.com is the place to go. That's where you get your precious metals. I love these guys. They do such a fantastic job. Again, put your money in real assets, guys, okay? Taking care of your family, making sure that you've got food that you can take care of your family with, you know, even growing your own food or even buying some prepackaged meals that you can store, making sure you have precious metals, actual physical money that's sustained for 4,000 years. That is gold. That is silver, okay? Not this fake government currency that the United States keeps printing. So take care of yourselves by going to redactedlikesgold.com. All right. Have you guys also subscribed to our newsletter by going to redacted.inc? It's not .com, it's redacted.inc. I hope you all subscribe to the newsletter. And by the way, when you subscribe to the channel right here, your name will pop up on our big board. It'll pop up right here on the big board.
You can't make someone do it on demand.
Subscribe right now.
Somebody do it and show us what it means.
If you're not subscribed, yeah, subscribe. Who's the first subscriber that's going to pop up here?
Bippity-boppity-boo.
Ready and go. We've got such a delay on our vMix, and it's like, boom, it's like so slow.
You know what? This last story is not a palate cleanser story. Like, normally the E-block, we talk about, like, the president and ice cream trucks, and so we didn't keep it light today, guys.
No.
And we're in the thick of it, in the thick of your work week, so all right.
Are you ready? Let's talk about Al-Qaeda, shall we? Let's pause for a moment, and I want us to all look at the utter hypocrisy surrounding the assassination of Al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri over the past 24 hours. It happened over the weekend. While the rest of the Western media has been fawning over this. They've absolutely been in love with this story. It's important to take a look at how we got here, how he was killed, and how the media started reporting on the story over the past 24 hours. Let's take a look at how the mainstream media has been fawning over this. Watch.
Breaking news in the war on terror. A man who had a $25 million reward on his head and was perhaps the single most wanted terrorist in the world is dead.
Well, one of the most wanted terrorists in the world is now dead after the U.S. killed him in a drone strike over the weekend.
The United States has killed the leader of Al-Qaeda in a drone strike in the Afghan capital, Kabul. President Joe Biden said intelligence officials tracked Ayman al-Zawahiri to a home in the center of the city.
It is kind of amazing, isn't it, how they all say the exact same thing? Like, they're almost like they're handed a transcript from the intelligence community inside the White House. Here's exactly how it went down. So they regurgitate those exact same lines. You can flip channels and hear them saying the exact same things because they're getting fed this information. It's exactly how this works. It's the last part, though, of that Al Jazeera piece that I specifically wanted to zero in on. The center of Kabul. We're the heart of Afghanistan, right? This is the video footage of the building being attacked. This is where Ayman al-Zawahiri was assassinated in downtown Kabul, okay? This is downtown Kabul where he was killed, right in the middle, in the heart of the city, right? And just think about that for a second, right? We knew exactly where he was with a pinpoint strike, with a drone strike, took him out, and no one else was hit. No, we knew. It's almost as if we had intelligence, or we knew exactly where the guy was at all times, and we've been tracking him, right? So Michael Tracy said this best. Here's what Michael Tracy had to say. And he said in a tweet, "You can view this as a great victory in the war on terrorism, or a reminder of how absurd the war in Afghanistan was. If it's really true that after 20 years, a mastermind of 9/11 ended up in the middle of Kabul, right next to the U.S. embassy." Yes. In fact, look at this map. This is exactly right near the U.S. embassy. And we were told, you know, last year, President Biden told us that Al-Qaeda was totally gone from Afghanistan. Right. Those were his words. President Biden stood there in 2021 and said, why would we stay there? Al-Qaeda's gone. They're gone. We eliminate them. They're eliminated from Afghanistan. So why are we still there? There was no reason to remain there, he said. And that was what he said. But today, this morning on Fox and Friends, John Kirby, Rear Admiral, the National Security Council Coordinator, John Kirby, said, look, and it is walking this back now. Here's what he said about Al-Qaeda. Listen.
We knew even before we left Afghanistan that there was going to be a small number of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. They already were there. We still believe the number is very small, but that they're there. And again, I think if I was a member of Al-Qaeda, I'd be thinking again about how safe a haven Afghanistan might be for me right now.
Oh, so wait a minute. Then who's lying here? Wait a minute. We knew that they were still there. We knew that they were. We talked about this before. No, we didn't. The president of the United States told us that they were gone. They were eliminated from Afghanistan. They were no longer there, but we know about them and they're there. It's almost as if we're friendly with them. But another big piece of this story, and we'll get to the allegiance here, is the United States partnership with Al-Qaeda. And yes, friendly. I almost felt like tweeting about when Zawahiri was killed. It's like, you know, that's how we treat our friends. Like, literally, we assassinate our friends because he was an ally. Make no mistake about it. He was an ally. Absolutely an ally used by the United States. So when President Biden told us this last night, it was a total lie. Listen to President Biden last night on Al-Qaeda.
People around the world no longer need to fear the vicious and determined killer. The United States continues to demonstrate our resolve and our capacity to defend the American people against those who seek to do us harm. No matter how long it takes, no matter where you hide, if you are a threat to our people, the United States will find you and take you out.
Oh, he was flat out lying. Not only will we not hunt you down until it's politically convenient, we'll actually arm you and provide money for you in the meantime to carry out our bidding against Assad and other governments around the world that we don't like. Take Somalia, for example, right? We covered that here on the show. Or Yemen. Or just to name a few. I mean, the list is fairly endless at this point. We will arm and funnel money to Al-Qaeda to do our bidding for us. Remember, as we reported here on the show, the U.S. has been supporting Al-Qaeda with money and weapons for years in Syria and beyond. As the Los Angeles Times reported, remember this? Here's the story in the Los Angeles Times. In Syria, militants armed by the Pentagon fight those armed by the CIA. Yes. In Syria, militias, a.k.a. Al-Qaeda, armed by the Pentagon, are fighting with those armed by the CIA. That's well documented. In fact, journalist and friend of the show, Kavork Almasian, had one of his close friends killed by Al-Qaeda in a mission that was funded and backed by the United States. Here's Kavork Almasian. He tweeted this. He said the attack was ordered by the CIA, and he tweeted this. Fact: Ayman al-Zawahiri was a close ally of Syria's moderate rebels who were armed, trained, and vetted by the CIA, he tweeted today. By the way, excellent journalist Max Blumenthal reminds us of the fact that the U.S. ally Zawahiri was responsible for helping NATO attack the Syrian government. We paid and armed them to do it. Here's what Max Blumenthal tweeted this afternoon. Zawahiri ordered terror attacks in Aleppo, killing 70 Syrian government personnel in 2012, helping transform the city's eastern districts into a base for the NATO-backed dirty war. When Aleppo was liberated in 2016, the U.S. accused Syria of genocide at the United Nations. So you might be asking yourself, you're watching this, I didn't know any of this. Yeah, because you're not going to. The Western media will never report this, right? It's part of a story that they want you to believe that Al-Qaeda is this horrible regime, the horrible horrible terrorist organization, and I'm not saying they're great by any means at all, but what I'm pointing out is that they are backed and funded by what we want them to do. So we want them to go into Syria and we want them to attack Assad and the Assad government, and they do it for us. So then you might be asking yourself, well, why did they kill him? Like, why did they suddenly assassinate him? But see, the United States has a history of doing this. Every few weeks, we hear about another attack. We took out a field marshal of ISIS in this one area.
A strategic person.
Yeah.
Right.
They do this every so often so that you can remain totally a nerd to the idea that we are at this endless war on terror. So Max Blumenthal asked the question, so why did they kill him? Because we no longer needed our friend Zawahiri. Here's what Max tweeted. He said, Zawahiri held their loyalty of the most powerful faction of the United States-backed Syrian rebels. He dictated strategy, ordered bombings in Aleppo. He was a hero in the province of Idlib, in which they controlled under NATO's watch. Now that the dirty war is over, Zawahiri is expendable. And why not then attack him? Right? Now we get to show, and President Biden, as we head into the midterm elections, gets, we know exactly where he was the whole time. So you exhaust your friendship with us. You've run out of, you know, you've run out of your usefulness. Mm-hmm. Now we're going right after you. And by the way, why wouldn't he be in Syria? Why wouldn't he be in these areas where he was working with the United States in the past? Why did he leave? And why was he in Afghanistan? In the heart of Afghanistan, maybe for his safety, because he knew what was coming. The United States violates this agreement with the Taliban and goes right into the heart of Afghanistan and assassinates him.
Yes.
I mean, these are the lies that the government continues to push out to us, that we are going to hunt you down and find you wherever you are. No, what we're going to do is we're going to work with you. We're going to fund you. We're going to arm you like we are in Syria, still allowing these cross-border funneling of arms to come right across the border, go right into the hands of Al-Qaeda. And then Al-Qaeda takes those weapons, keeps them, and sells off a large portion of them. And that money and aid is meant for the Syrian people. And what is it doing? It's funneling right to Al-Qaeda and Al-Qaeda groups.
I mean, this is a human life that you could just take because you need a win, right?
Right. That's exactly what they're doing. Yeah. It's election time. President Biden's poll numbers are down. What can we do? Well, our friend that we used for a long time, that we paid, and he helped organize attacks against the Syrian government, we don't need that guy anymore. He's old. He's old Zawahiri. Can we take him out in
a
drone
retired.
Strike?
Yeah.
And it's amazing how the mainstream media gets access to this drone video. They get access to all of the details of the strike. It's as if they're being fed this information. I mean, wake up, people. Like, this is part of the plan. These guys, the intelligence state, they run everything inside of Washington, and they have people inside the newsrooms at CBS and ABC and NBC, and they funnel this information right to those guys. They're on the payroll. It's, I don't know. As you dig into the story, the same thing Kevorek even said, I wonder if they dumped his body into the ocean already. You know, like they quickly got rid of Osama bin Laden, right? They put him right in the ocean so we can't see him. We can't see him. We have no evidence of that. We just drop him right in the ocean. Can't cover it. Anyway.
Well, that's our show for the day, you guys. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for sticking through our technical difficulties in the beginning. I'm glad we worked it out. I'm glad you stayed. That was kind of you. And thank you so much for your encouraging words to just keep going. We appreciate it, because I'm sure you know when something's going wonky at your career, you get frazzled. Mm-hmm. So,
well, it does get frustrating.
Sure.
You know, and we all work very hard here. And so we spend all day putting together a show, and for there to be like some sort of Google issue or a technical issue that like throws everything off, it's like the most frustrating thing in the world.
Yes, definitely.
So
let me tell you about that. Really...
Yes. No, poor Philip. I know.
Yeah.
You doing so, okay over there? Do you...
Oh man, I've been fighting this thing the whole time. I don't know if you could tell like the delay on images. But when I was popping up an image, for whatever reason, there was like a good 5 to 6 second delay. So I was having to predict when the image was up, when you were going to call for it. So I'm just like, if it was like when you called for it, I'd hit it. And then like 5-6 seconds later, it'd show up. So I had to like, I was trying to predict your movements. It's been a busy show tomorrow, we'll give
different cues to lead into them. But you know, for those of you at home, we can't see Philip, but we see like an anthropomorphized mouse moving around frantically on the screen that we're looking at. So it's like I can literally see just the mouse icon going.
Well, that's actually a combination of me or Kevin and or David. So at any given point in time, there it could be one of the three of us, depending on our needs, could be popping in there doing that. So it's just, yeah, the behind the scenes is pretty involved with the show, for sure.
Yeah. And thanks to all of our super chats. I really appreciate it, from Bandy Bear to everyone who sent in a super chat. We really, really appreciate it. So thank you guys so much for that and supporting the show and supporting what we do here. Well, one way that you can support us, it's totally free, is to get a daily newsletter from us. You go to redacted.inc, redacted.not.com. It's .inc, like incorporated, redacted.inc. Sign up for the free newsletter, become a part of our community. Again, it's totally free and you'll get a great newsletter first thing in the morning, but it's a way for us to stay in contact with you, because God knows these channels like to censor us and take us and kick us off. So it's a way for us to be able to send you an email and let you know, hey, here's what happened, here's where to find us and all of that good stuff. So thank you for subscribing to the channel. All right, everyone. Thanks, everyone. We will see you back here tomorrow. We're live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So we'll be back here tomorrow. Make sure you set that reminder, and we'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Bye now.